Ain't no stopping her now that she's in Moyog, North Carolina, right below the border. She is Dr. Denise Foster. No relation, my good friend, Dr. D, from Hemp Haven Wellness, hemphavenwellness.com, 726 Carrotoke Highway, just below the border in Moyog. And she is now still open 7 days a week, right?
Correct.
Same hours. You got her Sunday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m., Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. Dr. D and Hemp Haven Wellness, all things CBD. Even got some nice new products that you've unveiled for us, which maybe we'll talk about coming up in a bit. First of all, welcome back to WNIS. How you doing, man?
Thank you. It's a great Rocktober. And
welcome to Rocktober.
It's a fall season, football season. It's pumpkin spice season, and we're kicking it off as well this month. So we've got a lot of activity going on at Hemp Haven, and we are serving our community like never before. It's amazing.
Why don't we talk about that exciting debut that we got coming up later on this month? The Canna Cabana finally will be opening up.
Yes. We're very excited because we are going to be hosting the first cannabis consumption lounge in Hampton Roads. There, I've said it. But we're not newbies on the scene. This is actually something, a trend that is actually taking flight across the United States. Actually, 13 states have thus far legalized cannabis consumption lounges. These are areas that are privately owned, and in the cases of some of them, like, for instance, the newest state to legalize cannabis consumption lounges was New Jersey. So New Jersey awarded cannabis consumption lounge licenses. However, in Nevada, they are privately owned, and they work with the states depending on, you know, so it's all based on state regulations. But they are basically consumption lounges where individuals, based on regulations and rules, can come and openly use their cannabis products. And this is something that is now trending because more and more people are looking for spaces that are not necessarily in the public eye. Because, of course, it's illegal to even light up a tobacco unless you're in a smoking lounge or a cigar lounge or whatever. But individuals also may not be able to consume cannabis inside their homes. Maybe they have a landlord or a public housing situation or a college dorm situation. Because let's be real. College kids are using this, and they're using it in states where it is legal. And we also want to avoid the situation where they're smoking in their cars. We try to downplay that. We don't want you driving and being drugged while you're driving. And that's, in some cases, maybe more kids are living with their parents, and their parents are like, you're not doing this in my house. So the public consumption lounges are really becoming a way to provide a safe space for legal consumption. And this is something that I've recognized over the years as, again, we get more people saying, well, I can't use it in restaurants. Of course not. You can't use it at the beach or on the boardwalk. Of course not. These are public spaces. However, the dedication of a small, regulated, rigorously patrolled area is something that we are going to now be able to offer at Hemp Haven.
And what's awesome about yours is it's outdoors, too. And you're in an area where, like, there's a nice breeze, and it's pretty over there.
It's going to be lovely, awesome. Of course. Because it's outdoors, it's going to be weather permitting. But, of course, we're going to be kicking off a consumption lounge event at the end of this month. We're going to do kind of a soft opening. We're going to kind of test the waters. We're going to introduce ourselves to the community. Tuck's Canna Cabana is now going to be an alternative space that is safe. We're going to advocate for safe use. We're going to advocate for the normalization, so to speak, of you're 21, you're an adult, you are allowed to consume this on a private space. Of course, there's going to be rigorous rules and standards. For instance, no one gets in without being carded.
Yeah.
You got to be 21 and older. No one gets in bringing alcohol or tobacco. We do not have an ABC license on or off, and we do not want to use tobacco products and mix those two. So, but you're free to bring in. You want to bring in a pizza? have a pizza party, you want to bring in some of that great Southland fried chicken and have yourself a liter of cola, that's great, right? We're going to have food trucks at our events. We're going to have live music. The other thing is that we're not going to allow any outdoor cannabis. You're not allowed to bring in your own cannabis products. So first of all, cannabis is 100% illegal, and I'm talking marijuana, 100% illegal in North Carolina. While Virginia may be legal and you're allowed to grow it or buy it from a medicinal dispensary at the present time, you're not supposed to be bringing that across state lines. So therefore, no outdoor cannabis, cannabis that you bring in from your own, wherever you're accessed it. First of all, I don't know where you got your cannabis, and I don't trust it. Sure. I don't trust any cannabis except what I sell, because we don't have rigorous standards right now. And you could have bought this that may be laced with something that's very dangerous. So we don't need that type of unsafe situation in our Canna Cabana.
Right.
So you buy it at our dispensary. You're able to use it at our dispensary. And we're going to be kicking off a Halloween party on October 31st, come in costume. We're going to have some prizes. We're going to have lots of giveaways, but we're going to have live music. We're going to have live music on Friday night. We're going to have live music on Saturday throughout the day and into the evening. And then on Sunday, we plan to host an open mic night, an open mic afternoon on our Sunday hours. So we're going to hope for the best. We're going to hope for some great weather for that particular Halloween weekend. And we're going to kind of test the waters and let us introduce ourselves and hopefully begin to offer these safe, legal consumption spaces, because we have this stigma and stereotype that cannabis is bad. But yet a majority of our Americans, almost 80% of our Americans, have access to legal cannabis in their states or corresponding states. This isn't a trend that is stemming from so many of the safety data that we are collecting. For instance, I'm going to get into alcohol. You know, we already talked about how the alcohol industry last year lost 44% of revenues. And to date, we now know that only 54% of Americans, according to a recent Gallup poll, have admitted to continuing to drink alcohol. So 54% of Americans, and this is down from 58% just last year. So the decline continues to trend against alcohol. And that's okay, because you know what? The trend in cannabis-infused beverages, hemp-infused beverages, last year was $1.3 billion, billion with a B. By 2030, it's slated to go up to $3.1 billion. So that's tripling in just under 5 years. And this is why many of the alcoholic beverage companies are starting to move into the hemp-derived cannabis space. In fact, we talked last month about how AB InBev has already launched a line of hemp-infused beverages. Well, a major alcohol industry trade association has just accepted its first THC cannabis beverage member. A manufacturer out of Kentucky called Canna Buzz. They are a Kentucky-based manufacturer of hemp-derived THC beverages. They have been the first to be accepted as an associate member of the Wine and Spirits Wholesalers of America, meaning that alcohol is now moving into the hemp-derived THC beverage industry. And some of the samples I brought you today, well, we have this pink lemonade. I know that you said, Tony, that's one of Tony's favorites.
The Emperor's favorite.
We've got a vanilla cola. Tastes shockingly like great vanilla cola.
Yes.
We've got one here made in North Carolina by one of our newer vendors, Carolindica. It's a Carolina company. It's called Limelight, and it is a THC-infused Sprite-like soda. So you're getting non-alcoholic tastes while you're still able to use the THC content. And then the last one I brought today is from an outfit that is out of Connecticut. It's called Easy Man. And Easy Man is designed to be a beer substitute. So it is a non-alcoholic beer type product. This one has lime and salt and lion's mane in addition to the THC. The the spread of products that are now coming out in the hemp beverage lines are unbelievable. We're able to sell cannabis spirits, which are nothing more than a shot that you would substitute for your rum, your vodka, your tequila, any alcohol. We've even got one that mimics a fireball. It's a cinnamon type called Howdy Hooch. And what you're getting in it is just THC. And now you are able to mix your own cocktails. We call them mocktails because they're not actually made with alcohol. But we now know that more and more individuals are moving away from alcohol. And as our alcohol industry is recognizing that you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and the alcohol industry has now recognized that this is a phenomenon that we can't fight.
Sure.
And so if we can't fight them, we're going to join them. And with the moves at the federal level where hemp-derived cannabinoids are now being accepted, we'll talk about that in a minute. We have new data, new research that just came out. This was a study that just came out this month from the journal Drug and Alcohol Dependence, and it was from funded from the National Institute of Health, National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. They did a study that just showed that marijuana use, cannabis use, is linked to lower alcohol intake and diminished cravings in even the heavy users. So alcoholics now are turning to these hemp-derived beverages and reducing the amount of alcohol that they are ingesting. Our last two surgeon generals, through both President Biden's administration and now President Trump's administration, both surgeon generals have been coming out on record and saying that alcohol is poison.
Yeah.
And people are starting to understand that, and now the availability and the legality and the safety of these non-alcoholic hemp-derived beverages is taking off. And
must have as part of the harm reduction model that,
absolutely.
That we always talk about.
Harm reduction is in every case part of the cannabis model, especially when you're using it as medicine. And in this instance, we're now substituting a harmful drug, alcohol, that still causes the number one reason for fatal motor vehicle accidents. How long have we been fighting against drunk driving? But yet it still remains the number one fatality for motor vehicle accidents.
And we're increasing access to alcohol at the same time.
That's correct, because now we have to-go cups,
to-go
like in Virginia.
Yeah.
Right? Our illustrious governor in Virginia allowed to-go cups for alcohol, yet the drunk driving rate for Virginia climbed last year. But
no.
That's okay. We are now setting a precedent where under the direction of all of our people that work in our dispensary, I love our bud tenders, love our CannaFam, we all have a dedicated harm reduction approach. We are our intention is to keep you safe, either through use of the product, access of the product, and we are going to continue that because we're going to operate no different than an alcohol bar, meaning that if we think that you're too inebriated, too intoxicated to be hanging out in our bar, we're going to encourage you to take an Uber home, right? A rideshare home. We're not going to be serving you anymore, just like we do in the alcohol model, where bartenders are not supposed to be serving people who already appear to be intoxicated, and definitely taking away their keys if they appear to be intoxicated. So we're going to model ourselves after the 13 states, including the most recent one, New Jersey, on how to efficiently and safely and legally operate a public consumption lounge. And this is going to be an alternative choice, an option for people who still want to go out and have a good time. They want to experience the live music. They want to experience the events, the game, the games. We'll have lots of, you know, game nights, and we have cornhole and all of the fun things. And we're going to be able to now use cannabis amongst ourselves and really show that these are not your typical Cheech and Chong stoners, right? These are people who live and function every day in our communities. They'll use a product for a little while, and then they'll go home and go to bed. and then they'll get up the next day and they'll be a functional, responsible adult.
Hangover just like, free.
Hangover free, just like we expect you to do this from a bar situation, yeah. An alcohol bar situation. So this has been a passion of mine for the last couple years. It's now coming to a fruition because we can't give people the permission to use these products and then tell them, well, you're only allowed to do this in the comfort of your own home. So for a majority of the population, that works. But there are those that are not going, it's not going to work for them. But yet we can't demonize them and we can't threaten them with punitive action, legal action, because they happen to be smoking a joint on the boardwalk. That would put you in jail. But smoke a cigarette on the boardwalk, I don't see anybody coming after you for that. So we really have an opportunity here to show how a legal consumption lounge can fit into a community model while supporting safe use, safe advocacy, safe access, and making sure that we promote the tenets of cannabis, which are harm reduction and safety in all things. So if you're interested, I encourage you to visit us at our hemphavenwellness.com website. I have created a web page there that explains all of the rules and regulations. And again, I didn't reinvent the wheel. This set of rules and regulations is taken verbatim from New Jersey's own state-run consumption lounge websites, meaning that the state of New Jersey has put these regulations in place for what they believe is a good overview, a good standard set of regulations for operating a safe legal consumption lounge. And we're going to model that. You'll sign a guest release that relieves us of liability, right? You waive that you're in good health, that you understand the risks of using this, that we're going to be allowed to, you know, not serve you or not allow you to buy products if we feel that, you know, you're unsafe. Sure. So you're going to have to agree to all of this. But once you do agree to all of this, you're a member for life. You're a member for life. And our consumption lounges, as weather permitting, again, will be open every day that we can offer them and be available to them. And once we really kick off next spring, I'm hoping to have our grand opening Memorial Day weekend next year. We'll be lining up lots of events for the summer, including hopefully our Cars and Cannabis car show. That was something that we had to drop off because the city of Chesapeake refused to give us a permit to do it, and the city of Virginia Beach refused to give us a permit to do it. So next year, we're going to bring it back to Moyock, and we're going to be hopefully hosting it at Texarkana Cabana, where we'll, again, have a great muscle car show, and we'll be able to promote our cannabis items with some bands and some great raffles and giveaways and supporting our community nonprofits as well.
Everybody in the Hampton Roads area goes down to the Outer Banks at least once or twice a summer, even if it's just for a weekend or for a day or something like that. Stop in at Hemphaven. Check out the Canna Cabana because, you know, on Saturday, traffic's terrible anyway.
Yeah.
Stop halfway and spend some time in there. Chill out.
we're gonna be able to invite the community for community education and community events. You know, you're running for school board, come on over and talk to us, you know, talk to our constituents. So this is a gathering place. I really see it as a community place where people can gather, people can meet. We'll give lectures on cannabis and the research that's being updated if that's an interest. This is something that we really need to begin implementing into our community as we start to normalize it, because let's face it, the Fed is getting ready to create situations that are going to continue to legalize. The Fed is giving hints that they're on the road to legalizing cannabis. And by legalizing cannabis, I don't mean that it's going to be available everywhere. In fact, the Schedule 3 is right now is still stalled. And why is that? Because the DEA is right now under a lawsuit. If we go back to the end of last year, the DEA that is responsible for removing cannabis from Schedule 1 was accused by several groups that accuse them of collusion and preventing witnesses and really stacking the deck against the rescheduling process. Well, because of these lawsuits, they are not scheduled to begin arguing again. The newest set of arguments are not due until January 27th of 2026. So we know that until these arguments that have been in front of the Department of Justice accusing the DEA of really colluding with prohibitionist groups, these arguments aren't going to be heard again until January 2026. And that's when we start the process all over again. So we're going to have to go through those processes. We also still have banking, marijuana banking. Cannabis banking is on the back burner because right now, if you operate a cannabis dispensary, you are kept out of the banking industry because of its current situation as a status Schedule I drug. However, myself, I've been kicked out of three banks, and I sell a federally legal product, but I was kicked out of three banks myself. And banking in the cannabis industry is a horrific landscape for people because we are not allowed to enjoy the same perks, the same privileges for everything else that every other small business has. So right now, that's the other thing that has to really come first before we begin to even think about Schedule 3. A new report was just released from the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. This is the FinCEN network that is supposed to be tracking, for instance, you know, if you've got drug money running through your bank, they're going to flag it because there's some suspicious activity there. The latest batch shows that actually more banks in the United States are starting to ignore these issues related to Schedule 1. There is actually an increase in the willingness of many banks in the United States to begin working with cannabis businesses like mine. I found a bank that works with me. And to date, right now, we have 816 banks and credit unions that are now serving cannabis businesses. And every single head, every single administrator of all of those banking industries, from the credit union industries to the major bank industries like Bank of America and Citibank, all of these CEOs and heads of banking administrations have come forward to say that we need to put cannabis banking in place right now. First of all, they see the amounts of money moving in and out of banks. There's piles and warehouses full of cash that cannabis dispensaries cannot put in a bank because right now banks are not allowing them to bank with them because of these rules. So the banking industry is on board. The other thing that is now giving us a hint that the cannabis industry is about to be legal is that the FDA has now added to their adverse drug event reporting form. They are now tracking adverse events related to CBD and other cannabinoids. So before, you couldn't even report on cannabinoids like CBD or THC to the FDA's adverse drug event reporting form because it was considered contraband, right? It's considered a prohibited substance. So they're not going to get adverse reports on contraband, on prohibited substances, because you're not supposed to be taking them anyway. Now, the FDA, they had called for public comments on this over the summer. They took some of those comments and they rolled them into a rule. And now we now have forms from the FDA that if there are adverse events, speaking medicinally, right, if you get nausea, vomiting, whatever, from this particular product, you now can report it to the FDA. So all of these behind the scenes, the banking, the FDA reporting, the understanding that the DEA is going to be having a hearing in January where they're going to be now moving the football further down the goal, this is all showing that cannabis is soon to be legalized.
She's Dr. Denise Foster. Check out Tuxcana Cabana, new at Hemphaven Wellness, opening later this month. And the big opening weekend, the weekend of Halloween. More details on her website, hemphavenwellness.com. You can call her, 252-340-3557. She's open 7 days a week at Hemphaven, Sunday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m., Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 11 a.m. till 8 p.m., and she's right below the border in Moyoc, 726 Caratoke Highway, along the bypass, Route 168 in Moyoc, North Carolina. We get more coming up on News Talk 790 WNIS. Don't move. Here we are with Dr. Denise Foster on News Talk 790 WNIS from Hemp Haven Wellness in Moyock, North Carolina, just below the Virginia border, 726 Carrituck Highway. You can find her on the web at hemphavenwellness.com. Her phone number, 252-340-3557. She's now open 7 days a week. Canna Cabana opening later on this month. More details on that at hemphavenwellness.com. 757-627-7979 if you want to be a part of the program as we chat with Dr. Denise Foster about all things CBD and all things wellness and all canna things as well.
Yes. Cannabis is taking off.
Certainly is.
Cannabis is taking off.
What else is in the news?
You never know what's going to come out of this man's mouth. President Trump surprised everyone on Sunday. So, of course, it was President Trump who, in his 2018, his first administration, he actually was the signer that implemented the 2018 Agriculture Improvement Act. And that is what legalized hemp and removed it from the controlled Schedule One and completely carved it off of the Controlled Substances Act.
The Farm Bill.
The Farm Bill. Yes. Yeah. And this is what gave us the industry, the hemp industry, the legality and the restrictions, the regulations. And we all operate under these regulations. You know, everything that we sell in our dispensary follows those Farm Bill regulations. So we're back to President Trump on Sunday, just out of the blue. He sends out a video. And if you haven't watched this video, my jaw dropped because out of the blue, this video, it was a video that was produced by an organization called the Commonwealth Project. The Commonwealth Project has been around for several years. It's actually, you can find information about it at commonwealthproject.org. But its mission is to work to prioritize the 65 and older population by integrating medical cannabis into mainstream health care for seniors. So the Commonwealth Project, they actually created a video, and President Trump reposted this video. And this video actually promotes the benefits of hemp-derived cannabis, highlighting CBD. So some of the most fascinating things that came out of this were, first of all, the video states that it's time to educate doctors on the endocannabinoid system. Well, hello, I've only been trying to do that for the last 5 years. I've got my Cannabis 101 class going right now where I'm trying to help our Hampton Roads healthcare practitioners understand that these concepts must be integrated into our health education and our health promotion. And we need to start with the doctors and all the nurse practitioners and PAs and anyone else that is working with patients and populations. So this particular video says it's time to educate doctors on the endocannabinoid system. In this video, it says exactly what we know to be true. The game changer is that our body systems can be restored faster using hemp-derived CBD. And when the system in our body is restored, pain subsides, sleep is improved, and stress is reduced. When the system is restored, disease progression can slow down, and years are added to your life, as well as years spent in good health. We know that the quality of life that occurs with cannabis use is one of the major themes in our harm reduction model. We improve the quality of life by what we just talked about this right now. We remove alcohol from the equation. Now your liver is very happy. Your brain is very happy. You sleep great. You don't get hungover. You don't have to call into work sick the next day because you were on too much of a bender last night. So this video by the Commonwealth Project also notes that a PricewaterhouseCoopers report estimated that the annual total cost savings for the United States would reach nearly $64 billion a year if cannabis were fully integrated into the healthcare system. $64 billion a year in healthcare savings. And I used to teach in my graduate classes for nurses that that medical care, health care, is 1/5, 20% of our gross domestic product. And there it is right there, a $64 billion per year annual health cost savings because seniors could be substituting these cannabinoids for other harmful prescription drugs. And this is exactly what it says. We will see provide, President Trump says we need to provide Medicare coverage for CBD products. What? I am floored that we are going to now be looking, at least President Trump has promoted, or the Commonwealth Project's video has promoted, the fact that maybe we need to begin thinking federally legal cannabis from the hemp side and then allowing our federal systems to pay for it, like Medicare. This video goes on to say that you will deliver the most important senior healthcare initiative of the century, cementing your legacy and transforming aging care, and millions everywhere will thank you. This gave me chills, not chills down my leg, but chills in the fact that we now have a chief administrative officer who has basically the keys to the kingdom. You know, he's writing executive orders left and right, right? But the country is not yet ready to move to the side of cannabis because of the stigma. That's our role as cannabis nurses. We are not only promoting the safety and the harm reduction and the safe use and advocacy and coaching, but who are we doing this now the most with in our little dispensary in Moyock? Seniors.
Yes.
Our seniors are coming to us. They're meeting with our cannabis nurses. We offer free consultations, either virtually online or through the phone, or you can schedule an appointment with us to meet with us in person, where we review seniors' health. We review their conditions and their disease processes. We review the drugs, the prescription drugs, and the over-the-counter drugs that they may be already taking. And then we advocate for what cannabinoid, or in some cases, ratios and combinations of cannabinoids to use, many of which don't even include THC, which is the only intoxicating compound that we know of to date. So they are coming to us, and a majority of them are now looking to using hemp-based cannabinoid products like CBD to provide the care and the replacing of the harmful drugs that they may be using, and they're looking for more holistic options. The data we have that thus far says about 20% of our population age 65 and older are already using a CBD product. And that is reflected on what we are seeing in our Moyock location as more of the older population begins to recognize that these compounds are very safe. And when you're looking to address a specific outcome, when you want to achieve a certain effect, I'm sorry, you're not going to use marijuana. You're just not. Marijuana is good for one thing. It makes you high. Yeah. It makes you stoned. It makes you impaired. This is the legacy. This is the understanding that I have had working with medical marijuana patients who they wanted to use it for a true medicinal purpose, but instead they also got impaired and they didn't like that feeling. So we are now helping our seniors avoid that feeling of intoxication that is actually a safety risk. We don't need you to be impaired or cognitively memory lapses, balance problems, right? Where am I? You wake up in the middle of the night disoriented and now your risk for falls goes up. We are helping them use cannabis and cannabinoid products derived from hemp safely to address conditions. This is where we now are seeing more research, more of the same. It's so redundant by this point because every research study says the same thing. Here is one that was a survey just released from a medical marijuana certification company called Green Health Docs. So this was an outfit that actually helps patients certified to get medical marijuana, and they surveyed over 1,400 of their patients nationwide, and they have found that medical marijuana patients who are using it for chronic pain, these are your opioid users, your chronic opioid users, your chronic benzodiazepine and SSRI users, those with chronic pain overwhelmingly agree that cannabis is an effective long-term treatment option, with one in three of these individuals saying it has helped them to completely eliminate their use of prescription drugs. This is overwhelming evidence that there are numerous benefits of using cannabis over pain medication. In fact, 35% of this population stopped all prescription pain medicines, and 15% to 12% reduced their dose or frequency. Now we're reducing that risk associated with opiates. And we know that every time you get an opiate prescription, you get a dose of Narcan with that, because we can't be sure which dose is going to send you into the overdose situation. This makes the cannabis a lower risk of overdose compared to opioids. These individuals said that the side effects were manageable. When they got too inebriated, too intoxicated, if they didn't like the feeling, they would cut back on their cannabis dosage, which gave them better control to manage their symptoms. This is not something that you get with opioids. Opioids are one and done. You put it in, you hope it takes care of the pain, but you're on for the ride until that opioid is processed through your system. And they also like the flexibility that they could use different products. This is another harm reduction method that, let's say you're a chronic pain patient, you might need to take an edible, a gummy. That's going to give you a 6 to 8 hour coverage for your pain control, but you need immediate pain relief. So you might be encouraged to take a little puffy off of a vape or a cannabis cigarette, a joint, if you would. And that's going to help you immediately control your pain as you wait for your edible to kick in. And these are the quality of life indices that people are looking for, especially in our chronic pain population, that do not have good effective answers other than opioids to treat their pain. Another study that just came out, this was another study that was a replication study, and it was published in the journal August issue of Biomedicines, and it was conducted with the Harvard Medical School's Department of Psychiatry. It found that 1 week of use of CBD at approximately 30 milligrams per day was extremely effective in reducing high levels of anxiety. So in this particular study, they took a group of individuals who all reported severe anxiety. So you have to imagine all of the medications that these individuals were on. So what they needed to do is they needed to test to see what CBD would do for these individuals. So they gave them 30 milligrams a day of CBD, not a large dose, and within a week of starting this 30 milligram per day CBD trial, they all reported they had significant improvements in anxiety symptoms. They saw better sleep, better balance in mood, better quality of life. They felt executive function, memory, and cognition were improved, and few side effects were reported. This shows that CBD, even at a low dose, are going to be very effective at helping control even the higher anxiety symptoms. This is something that, again, we can use the harm reduction model and get people off of their SSRIs or their benzodiazepines that are causing so much problems. And now the research is actually indicating that these pharmaceuticals don't even work. They don't work as intended, and they are actually beginning to show there are more harms and risks associated with them than benefits.
A lot of them have withdrawal symptoms too.
Absolutely.
So it makes it difficult for people, once they've been taking it for a long period of time, to leave them.
Absolutely.
Which is something that CBD also helps with, those withdrawal symptoms.
Because
we've talked about that
before,
too.
They are used for CBD withdrawal symptoms. CBD can be used for withdrawal symptoms from alcohol, from tobacco, from I did a talk to the Virginia Association of Addiction Professionals a few years ago, and I blew their mind when I told them that you can use cannabis to help with cannabis use with withdrawal addiction, because we're using the CBD. I haven't found anything that CBD can't do yet. And so that's why it's amazing to continue to read the mounting research that shows that CBD is extremely effective. One more report I'm going to throw at you, and this is actually a report that's coming to us that was published in, I'm looking at It was a preprint. I'm looking to see where the study was done. They actually looked at 20 countries. Here it was. It was from the Australian National Health and Medical Research Council, and it was published in the British Journal of Pharmacology. And this was a review that looked on data from 20 countries who had legalized cannabis in one form or another, either adult use, recreationally, or medical use, or a combination thereof. So they looked at data from 20 countries, and they wanted to see what were the associations between cannabis, medical marijuana, tobacco, and amphetamines. Amphetamines. They found a strong negative association between tobacco use and legal medical marijuana, showing that there is a strong substitution effect as people choose to use cannabis and methamphetamines instead of smoking cigarettes. So now we're back to the harm reduction model that is showing us that when we give people access to legal cannabis that has been regulated, tested, verify that it meets the rigorous safety standards associated with its use, people are substituting even alcohol, tobacco, and now anxiety pills, SSRI, antidepressant pills, and now tobacco and methamphetamines. The data are coming out, and the harm reduction that is occurring are absolutely off the charts with these compounds. The last couple things I want to throw out here before we close up is that Virginia is slow to the game. I'm going to keep poking the bear, poking the Commonwealth, because it was the Commonwealth that ran me out of Virginia and called me a criminal, a felon, fined me almost half a million dollars because I sold a federally legal product that President Trump is now promoting along with the Commonwealth Project, and all of the data and the research that is coming to light about how using these products safely and appropriately can provide either a substitution or a harm reduction effect in many of these harmful substance use areas, including prescription drugs. So Virginia is late to the party, and it was just in 2021 that Governor Northam actually implemented the legal medical marijuana and adult cannabis use model for Virginia. Here we are, 2025, going on to 2026. So here we are 5 years later, and we're still in Virginia trying to make that work. Here's a report that was just released from the Virginia Cannabis Control Authority. They have just put on board their metric vendor seed-to-sale model. This is a seed-to-sale tracking system that is actually part of all regulatory requirements in every state that sells cannabis. So right now, most of the states are selling cannabis. I believe we're up to 45 states that sells some form of medical marijuana. And each one of those state regulatory agencies requires a seed-to-sale tracking system. In the Virginia Cannabis Control Authority, they selected Metric, which is a system that monitors every plant, product, and sale in real time. They just got that launched, and so therefore their first 2 months of data were collected between July and August of this year. The data indicate that the platform Metric logged 17,786 plants that were harvested, which then were rolled over into $30 million in sales with more than 256,000 transactions between July and August. What's interesting is half of the sales were flower, and the other 32% were actually concentrates. Edibles were 15%. So we're now figuring out what is available in the cannabis dispensaries. And we talked last month about how one of the complaints about Virginia dispensaries was that the products were too high in cost and there were too limited in options. Mm. I'm going to take you over here to Ohio, and we're going to close out the show with some Ohio data.
Ohio
began actually selling and licensing their adult and medical licenses were beginning in 2019. So just a little bit before Virginia came on board with their legal model. This year, since 2019, Ohio has officially reported over $3 billion in sales. $3 billion in sales. In just the last couple years, they have reported 458,000 pounds of plant material, 44.4 million manufactured products, and in Ohio, you will be able to find 165 licensed retailers. In Virginia, we have five medical health service areas, means only five medical dispensaries. And then in Ohio, they now have over 459,000 registered patients. All of this to say that in Ohio, at their dispensaries, on average, you can buy a gram of marijuana for $6.55. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. So North Carolina is coming on board with Governor Stein just a few months ago, announcing that it's time for North Carolina to legalize THC, whether it comes from hemp or marijuana. And he has now put into his state a commission, a council that is now looking at regulatory rules where he wants to make it testable, make it lab safe, and make it sure that it's inaccessible to children with safe packaging, childproof, and no Truster Cheeto on the label. And then he wants to distribute it and regulate it like alcohol. So we're starting to see moves in cannabis land where at the marijuana level, we're still going to get there. It's going to take us a little bit more time as federal agencies have to tease out what that means for them, including Schedule 3 and Medicare. Meanwhile, in the hemp-derived industry, we are seeing incredible expansion, and the products that are now being offered are becoming extremely popular, and we now have evidence that shows that they are being substituted for in many areas where harm reduction can be very pivotal for our quality of life.
Go see Dr. D, Dr. Denise Foster, 726 Carriage Oak Highway. That is where Hemp Haven Wellness is. The website, hemphavenwellness.com, 252-340-3557. And she's open 7 days a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 11 a.m. till 8 p.m., Sunday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. Also, the Canna Cabana debuting later this month, Halloween weekend. More about that at hemphavenwellness.com. Delivery, of course, still available, hemphavenwellness.com. And Dr. D, always good to see you. We'll chat with you again soon on WNIS.
Wonderful. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
We are News Talk 790 WNIS.